Yeah. Good evening. If you would stand to your feet tonight, there is no better way to open a service than praising God. Amen. That's what Pastor would have wanted. So we're going to do that tonight.
I'll praise in the valley and praise on the mountain. Cause praise is the water my enemies drown in. Praise is a weapon, it's more than a sound. My praise is the shout that brings Jericho down. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise. When I don't, I'll praise cause I know that you're still in control. My praise is a weapon, it's more than a sound. My praise is the shout that brings Jericho down. I'll praise cause you're faithful, praise cause you're true, praise cause there's nobody greater than you. I'll praise cause you're sovereign, praise cause you made, praise cause you rose and defeated the grave. I'll praise cause you're faithful, praise cause you're true, praise cause there's nobody greater than you. Praise the Lord, oh my soul.
Hallelujah. Come on, give God some praise in the house today. Yes. Woo! Hallelujah. This is a celebration. A celebration of life, not death. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much. Praise God, praise God. This is what Pastor Dosek would want. He wouldn't want anything less than this. Amen? Hallelujah. You can have a seat if you can this evening. Praise God. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord tonight, even under these circumstances, because we know what He would want us to be doing, and we're doing it. Well, thanks everyone for coming tonight, being here, taking whatever you did to get here, all the things that you did, you could be doing. We thank you for being here tonight with us. And my name is Pastor Randy Waters, and I'm also Pastor Dosek's son-in-law. And I married Nicole Waters, his one and only daughter, 32 years ago. 32 years ago. Wow! Woo! That was the only child that they had. And I want to say that Pastor Phyllis Dosek and myself and Pastor Nicole and my family and our staff, we sincerely welcome all of you here tonight. And thank you. Thank you from the bottom of our heart for coming out and being here with us tonight. I know that people have come far and wide, traveled Mexico, Canada, from all parts of the earth to be here today and to honor Pastor Peter Dosek. And we don't consider this a light thing. We don't. We thank you, your family, you're part of the body of Christ, and we love you. We love every single one of you, and we mean that. Thank you for having us here, or coming, I guess, and being here with us. So I guess I want to start out with prayer to honor and remember and reflect Pastor's life. So let's do that now. Father, we come before you today, and we know you are here in the midst of us. For you said that wherever two or three are gathered, you are here. And you are here right in the midst of this place. And God, I just thank you for every one of these people that have sacrificed their time, sacrificed their money, sacrificed everything they sacrificed to be here tonight. God, I thank you for blessing them. I thank you for giving back to them. God, I thank you for souls being saved tonight. God, for people being healed, set free, and even delivered tonight in this honoring celebration service, God. Hallelujah. We give you praise for it, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Can you hear me? Yeah. All right. I'm Francis Obalu, and my wife and I have been privileged to be members here. Pastor Dosek was not only our pastor, he was a friend, a mentor. Taught me how to fish, hunt, water sports. Taught me about integrity and faithfulness. And I was honored to also be his physician. The obituary. Pastor Peter Dosek, of course, when I need this thing, technology, right? Pastor Peter Dosek had but one mission in this life, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ wherever he went. Nothing gave him more joy than to watch the Spirit of God draw the lost to repentance. He enjoyed that more than golfing, hunting, and fishing. And if you knew Pastor, that's saying a lot. Pastor Dosek was born on September 5th, 1950, at Wilson Memorial Hospital in Sydney, Ohio, to parents Howard C. and Janice L. Bozeman Dosek. He married his wife for 52 years, Phyllis Williams Dosek, on January 16, 1971, at the Nazarene Church in Quincy, Ohio. A little over a year later, they welcomed their one and only child, Nicole Dosek Waters. The Doseks lived as most young couples do, in love, creating a home, and growing a family. Everything seemed perfect. However, Pastor often shared how he became discontented with life that they were building and found himself in a vicious cycle of making decisions he deeply regretted. Pastor often said, "Amazingly, my wife stuck it out with me. She wanted to divorce me, but she didn't carry it out because she became a Christian." During this downward spiral, Pastor Phyllis was praying for her husband. Pastor began to feel drawn to God. He read Romans 10, 9-11. He heard about what it means to be a Christian and have a new life. "I wanted this," he said. "I wanted to be saved, but I was living the life of a chameleon. I showed interest in God, but I wasn't interested enough to make a full commitment." This is a struggle we all go through. He learned the blood of Jesus was shed for him on the cross, and he was able to wash away all of his sins. He said, "I decided it was time to be all in or all out. So I did a bold thing, and I knelt beside my closet door. I prayed a prayer of repentance the only way I knew. From that moment, Pastor was all in for Jesus and never looked back. Soon after, Pastor felt called to the ministry. On Palm Sunday, March 28, 1982, the Doseks held the inaugural service of Only Believe Church in their living room. One person joined them for worship, and a new church was born. On Mother's Day of the same year, the church moved into a 16 by 32 foot storefront building on State Street in downtown Botkins. It was a new beginning. And over the decades that followed, Only Believe Church made several more moves until the purchase of nearly 47 acres on Botkins Road and the undertaking of three building projects that now sit over 4,000, where we are now. Since the completion of the church building, Only Believe has birthed three church satellites in the cities of Canton, Ohio, February of 2011, Urbana, Ohio, February of 2014, and Dayton, Ohio, February of 2016. As God brought increase and blessing to Only Believe Church in Botkins, Pastor found himself unsatisfied with church growth that did not include a move of the Holy Spirit and the miraculous. He began to pray for the demonstration of the Holy Spirit to become evident in his personal life and ministry. He canceled all appointments for 18 months and arrived at the church at 5 a.m. each day to pray, study, and seek the Lord. At the end of that time, he had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ of Nazareth and was empowered to demonstrate the miraculous and evangelize the nations. Pastor immediately planned a mission trip with the only pastor he knew in the Philippines. There were a little less than 2,000 people in attendance at his first crusade. But when he prayed for miracles to happen, hundreds of people came to the platform to share their miracle testimonies. The blind saw, the deaf heard, the crippled walked for the first time, and the tumors on people's bodies disappeared immediately. This was the start of Peter Dosek Ministries, an international evangelistic ministry that calls the lost, disciples the believer, equips the minister, and leaves an indelible mark in every rich city and community. As an evangelist, pastor ministered to more than 250 million people in person and on worldwide television. He won over 8 million souls for Christ. He taught and trained 114,000 pastors and ministers to do the work of the ministry with greater excellence and understanding. He funded the digging of water wells, building of churches, establishment of orphanages. On June 25th, 2017, Pastor Dosek received a doctorate of theology from Covenant Theological Seminary in Greenville, North Carolina. One of Pastor's most remarkable endeavors later in life was raising up an army of next-generation evangelists and pastors who are now empowered and equipped to travel the world preaching the gospel and winning souls for Christ. Many new ministries were birthed through his call to build kingdom leaders, and they are actively drawing the lost to repentance and discipling believers on six continents. Pastor Peter Dosek stepped into eternity from his home on the morning of Thursday, October 12th, 2023. He is survived by the love of his life, Pastor Phyllis, his daughter, Pastor Nicole Waters, husband, Pastor Randy Waters of Shawnee, Ohio, and grandchildren, or as he lovingly called them, Rugrats. Alexis Waters of Shawnee, Ohio, Lincoln and Grace Waters of St. Mary's, Ohio, and Quentin Waters of Shawnee, Ohio, as well as seven brothers, six sisters, and numerous nieces and nephews. His legacy of faith will continue through the many men and women he developed as kingdom leaders and inspired to only believe. Pastor paved the way. The goal and purpose for Only Believe Church will remain. We will always win the lost, disciple new believers, and impact our communities.
Thank you, Dr. Obaloo. That was a very long obituary. Hallelujah. Well, I feel that I need to set the tone of the service this evening. If that song has not already set the tone, and I'm going to set the tone for you today. And that is this. I know we're sad. I know that we are hurting. And I know that we are mourning. And that is natural, and it's all okay. But let the tears fly. It's okay to cry, right? It is. It's good for us to cry and mourn for our pastor and our friends. It's natural. But let's make sure they are tears of joy, not regrets, and not sorrow. That's not what he wants, and that's not what he would have for us today. We all have mixed emotions, and lots of us can't even concentrate because of the memories that we have been going through for the past week, even at work or at home or driving in a car. We've heard lots of them today. They're flooding our thoughts. Is this really happening right now? He can't really be gone. That's what some of us think. But I want you to hear from Pastor Dosek himself, how he felt about life, how he felt about the death, and how he felt about the afterlife, and what he was looking forward to on the other side. So you know what? I changed my mind. I'm not going to set the tone of this service tonight. I'm going to let Pastor Dosek himself set the tone for the service tonight. Here we go.
Tell me, what does it look like in heaven?
He said, I've been to heaven. And since I've been to heaven, there is a great struggle on the inside of me. There was not a struggle before I beheld the portholes of glory. There was not a struggle before I looked over the banisters of death. There was not a struggle until I'd been there and came back. But I want to tell you, now I'm in the midst of a great struggle betwixt two. There's a struggle for me to depart and to be with the Lord, which is far better. But then I see your need to hear faith. I see your need to be encouraged. I see your need to be edified. I see your need to have revelation. But if it wasn't for you, I'd depart this land. I'd go up with a shout, and I'd go with victory, knowing what is on the other side.
On earth, everything's different.
Only those that have never viewed what is on the other side are ever fearful of what awaits for them.
Oh, I hope you're dancing in the sky, and I hope you're singing in the angels' choir, and I hope the angels know what they have, and I bet it's so nice since you arrived. You'll be dancing in the sky.
My wife and I have an agreement. If I die, don't bring me back, or we're going to get divorced. I have one goal in life, and it is not to be rich, and it's not to be prospered, and it's not to be known, and it's not to have a church, but it's to reach that great goal where I hear, well done, good and faithful servant, enter thou therein to the joy of the Lord. Money can't make us put up with what we go through. Money can't make us put up with the scourging. Money can't make us put up with the rejection. Money can't make us put up with the hatred. Money can't make us put up with all of the fires and the persecution and the afflictions to which many are the righteous. But it's only the hope of what lays beyond this realm of the physical that will call us to pick up, to bear on, and to go through for Christ.
And I hope you see.
Homecoming of the believer, and it is not a sad day, but it is a rejoicing day. And we weep when people are born into the kingdom of God, but we rejoice when they run the race and be crowned with a crown of righteousness.
Light is the music, is the art and adventure. Are you happy? Are you more alive?
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise be the name of our God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Realizes it as it has been defeated by the beloved of our Father. Do not let the predetermined in the outcomes of the enemy keep you from rejoicing. Look beyond what I've saw in the Word. Use it as a window of light and realize that the Word of God is the light unto the world. Rejoice and let praises sing. Hallelujah, dance even before you die.
Adventure. Are you happy? Are you more alive?
There ain't nothing sad about dying in Christ. We just get there a little early. How many of you ever took a shortcut before? See, the devil thinks it's victory. All he did was reroute the map to get you there early. He didn't stop you where you was going. Yeah, you might be upset when you get there and somebody's already ate all the finger licking good. The potato salad is already picked over. All the iced tea is already watered down. Let's not be discouraged because they went on before us. Let's rejoice knowing that they've caught a glimpse of their internal citizenship in Christ Jesus. It's a time to rejoice when the righteous die.
It's so nice since you arrived. You'll be dancing in the sky. Dancing in the sky.
Hallelujah. I'm not sure Pastor was breathing in between that preaching. Does anybody believe, say amen to that? Well, I had the privilege of listening to that kind of message everywhere I went around the world. Pastor and I went to 28 nations of the world. We saw over 8 million people come to Christ that we could count. We believe there's probably multiple millions more. But I was just in Pakistan. And as I was leaving on Monday, I debated whether I should go to Pakistan. And I could hear Pastor's voice in my heart. And he said, Eric, don't sit by my bedside. Go win souls. And I have some more good news. Besides 8 million people we saw come to Christ over the last 20 plus years, we saw 62,682 people come to Christ in Pakistan, the second largest Muslim nation in the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I know that would honor Pastor. I really felt Pastor was up in heaven. I was talking to Brother Jesse about this. I really felt Pastor was cheering us on as we were just preaching and pulling the nets in. So we just give God praise for it. Thank you, everyone, for coming today. We appreciate you so much. Now, listen, my phone has not stopped ringing for the last 8 days. I was in Pakistan when I got the news Pastor went to heaven. And I cried for a couple hours and then began responding to message after message. I don't think I slept for 4 days. Literally, messages are still coming in by the thousands from all over the world, people paying their respects, sharing how much Pastor meant to them. And so we had a chance here at Only Believe to see him on a regular basis. Some pastors like Pastor Tim Moss or Pastor Kingsley Osai or others got a chance to see Pastor maybe once a year, but we had the privilege of seeing him every single week. And what a great mentor. What a man of faith that we got a chance to sit under so we, in turn, can go and do likewise. I want to encourage everybody that Peter Dosik Ministries is not stopping with Pastor going to heaven. Just the opposite. We have sons in the faith that God has raised up, and we're going to win tens of millions of more souls. We're going to remind the devil he's still lost, amen? And Jesus is still on the throne. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have selected just 8 people. We could have selected probably 8,000. But we have 8 people tonight. They're going to share a few words memorializing Pastor and the impact that he had on their life. Our first speaker today is his oldest grandson. This is Lincoln Pierce Dosik Waters. Give him a round of applause if you would, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Wow, that video was awesome. That was good. Praise the Lord. So I do have something wrote down, and it's a little sentimental, but first I want to share a story about just kind of how our relationship looked as pastor and grandchild, and something I think you'll enjoy. So Papa taught me how to hunt, fish, shoot guns. He taught me basically anything outdoors. So we made it a habit and a ritual to go hunting every single year. And we would hunt a lot. And John and Ann Braun, you're probably, yeah, right there in the back. They give us the privilege to go out and hunt their property, and they got some big bucks and stuff. So as a normal hunting day comes up, we get up at 4:30 and McDonald's opens at 5. We go to McDonald's. We get our breakfast, our coffee. Apparently, coffee blocks the scent from deer, so we drink coffee, whatever, sure. And they got this like super long lane. It's probably like quarter mile, maybe even a half mile. I could be crazy. And we have to drive down halfway, hop out, and then we go to our stands so that the deer don't see the truck. So we get there and we hop out. Quentin and Papa, we're young enough. I'm probably like 14, 15, so Quentin's like 12, 11. Him and Papa go one way, I go the other way, and I walk all the way down the rest of the lane. So like another quarter mile, half quarter mile. Climb up in this 23-foot stand, and as I'm sitting there, sun starts coming up, and I'm like, well, that McDonald's is starting to move. And I'm like, man, dude, I can't just like turn around and head over here to this tree because there's no toilet paper, you know, there's nothing to watch. So I think, man, we got that McDonald's bag in the truck. I'm going to grab the napkins. I'm cool gravy. Hop down, run all the way back to the truck in the middle of the lane, and there's nowhere to go. So Papa's truck, he's got this cherry red Ford and these chrome rims on his wheels. And so I'm like, well, let me just hop up against this wheel. So I hop up against the wheel, not to get crazy. I'm sorry, guys, not to get weird. I hop up against his wheel, and I do my business, and I toss the napkins down, don't pay attention, run back to the stand. We hunt, nothing happens, whatever. And we come back to the truck. We hop in the truck, and as we're getting ready to leave, Papa hops in, and he looks over, and he goes, now, boys, And this is just pop off, you know. He says, now, boys, either a coyote took a dump in my tire or it was one of you. And as we're driving down the lane, there he goes, man, right in his cherry truck chrome wheels. Lincoln didn't lean out far enough and dropped it right there in it. And man, he wasn't upset. We were cracking up all the way home. Just awesome. Just what a great memory. And we... Oh, man. It's awesome. But that was the kind of pop-off. It wasn't, man, look at my chrome wheels, man. No, we were cracking up about it. And he knew who did it because he went hunting with Quentin. It was funny. That was funny. But now I'll take a different approach. I just want to share a few things that Papa and my grandfather taught me, and it's super hard to do in just a couple minutes, but I'm going to try my best. Papa taught me to never give up and to never give in. He taught me persistence, never giving up in golf, hunting, fishing, and many more things, like how to take your money and save and use your faith until you get it. You know, God will bless you. Sow a seed. Papa was my pastor, my grandpa, my coach, my mentor, and my personal favorite. He was my best friend. Yes, he taught me not only how to not give up in those worldly things, but more importantly, he taught me more than anything to not give up on Jesus and give in to the devil. Words I'll never forget Papa say was, love God and hate sin. He taught his daughter that her whole life and was even saying it to us grandkids. Love God, hate sin, Lincoln. Papa taught me how to read my word, how to be a giver. If you know him, dude, he would give his shoes to a McDonald's worker just off the table and walk out barefoot. It happened with me and Quentin. He taught me how to pray, how to fast, and how to seek God with persistence. Not stopping until you get the answers you're looking for, until you hear from God. At this very church at 5 a.m., I was here with him, just learning how to seek after God. Last but certainly not least, he taught me how to love. And I have some scripture, Mark 12, 30 through 31. And you shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandments greater than these. Papa taught me Mark 12, 30 through 31 by example. He didn't just read it to me, but he lived it in his everyday life. Papa was never lacking love, never lacking boldness, never lacking trust in Jesus, and never lacking faith. And he always taught faith. He lived faith. One of our last conversations we had, I was on Papa's bed with him about a week before he passed. And I come in his bedroom just in shambles. I mean, tears streaming down my face, and I sat on the corner of his bed with my hand on his leg. I was like, Papa, forgive me here. I said, Papa, this is the hardest thing I've ever had to face. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do without you. And I have this wrote down, his exact words, and I'll even give you the face he made. He said, Lincoln. A little smile. The last smiles he had, he just smiled. He said, Lincoln. He said, this is nothing. He said, God has prepared you to face much harder things than this in your lifetime. This is nothing. So if Papa were here speaking out at his funeral, right here up on stage, I feel like I have a little idea of what something he would say. And I feel like it goes a little like this. To those of you who mourn, rejoice. To those of you who doubt, have faith. To those of you who grow weary, stand firm. And to those of you who do not know Jesus Christ, repent. Turn from your sin and seek God. Run the race. Win souls. Love God and hate sin. Hear those final words. Well done, good and faithful servant. And I end with 1 Corinthians 15:55. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? We love you, Papa.
I remember when Lincoln went on a crusade with Pastor and I in Nakuru, Kenya. I think he was 7, maybe 8. And Pastor anointed him to pray for people. And I remember him opening his first blind eye, I think at age of 7. So that heritage is moving on. And Lincoln and Quentin and Alexis, he loved you dearly. Talked about you all the time. We have another, we have a video from a pastor who Pastor Dosey called the prophet of our church. For those of you who know that terminology from Only Believe, that's Dr. Tim Bagwell from Lone Tree, Colorado, Word Life Church. He couldn't be here because of obviously many busy engagements, but he did record a video. So if you would, turn your attention to the screens as we hear Dr. Tim Bagwell share.
Hello, I'm Dr. Tim Bagwell. And first of all, let me convey from my wife and myself our deep, heartfelt condolences to Phyllis, to Nikki and Randy, and to all the grandkids, and to all of you that are a part of Only Believe Ministries. The loss of a husband, the loss of a father, the loss of a grandfather, and a great pastor and a great leader. What can I say to you? Because I know you're hurting. I know many of you are wondering, what do we do next without Peter? How do we handle this without our grandfather? How do I deal with this without my dad? And how do we as a church contend with the loss of a man who has been our pastor for 4 decades plus. I'm dealing with the same thing. I've lost a dear friend, a friend of over 38 years. But I do want to say to you that the Word of God says that He is the God of all comfort. And you have to realize something when there is no card that can fix it, no meal that can fix it, no bouquet of flowers that can fix it. The Holy Spirit can fix it, and He can touch your heart, and He can touch your life, and He can heal you where you hurt. The Word said, I shall supply all your need according to my riches that are in glory. And every one of you that are hurting right now have a different kind of a need, but you have a God that is big enough to supply that need. Peter Dosik was a man that I learned to love and admire and respect over 38 years of working with him in ministry. And I know there's a lot of people today that are going to share the impact of his ministry. And I will briefly, because really more so, I want to talk about my friend. But as a minister, he was integrous. As a minister, he was generous. As a minister, he was disciplined. As a minister, he cared about people, but more than anything else, he loved God. As a minister, he had a passion for the lost. And he traveled the world, and he was somebody that made an impact and literally saw millions of people come to Christ through these international crusades all over the world. We're going to miss him, and the kingdom of God is going to miss him. And so many of you will share things today of the impact that he had upon your life personally and upon the work of the kingdom of God. But let me talk about my friend. He was my best friend, and there was nothing that I couldn't share with him. We had many unique conversations about troubles and trials and family and financial pressures, and sometimes it was rolling down the fairway of a golf course, sometimes it was at a restaurant. Sometimes it was at his home or at my home or in a car. But I knew one thing, that there wasn't anything that I couldn't share with him. And he always held my thoughts and the things he learned about me in confidence as I did him. So if you're thinking today I'm going to tell you the things we shared, I'm not, because they're still held in confidence. But I will say one thing. It's hard to find somebody that will respect you enough to hold your secrets and your heartaches in confidence and counsel you through the tough times. Probably more than anything else, I'll miss that. But you know, he is with the Lord and he's doing great. But let me tell you a little bit more about my friend. He is my golf buddy. And he thinks, and he probably still thinks, up in heaven that he was a better golfer than me. But God knows the truth about that. And Pete, if you can hear me, I still believe I can whip you, even if you're up in heaven. But you probably have a lot going for you now that you didn't have back then. But I have a set of clubs that I will play probably for the rest of my life that he bought me. And I remember being on a golf course with him, and I hit my driver right down the middle of the fairway. I outdrove him by at least 50 yards. And he threw his ping driver to me, and he said, "Hit this." And I hit it. I hit it 25 yards further. And he picked up the phone, and he called his club fitter, and he said, "Get Bagwell hooked up with this driver." 2 weeks later, I had a very, very expensive ping driver on my front porch that I still hit to this day. That's the kind of friend he was. He was generous. I think about all the great restaurants he took me to. I mean, no holds barred, ladies and gentlemen. Waffle House, Culver's Hamburgers, Bob Evans, Applebee's. Now that's where it really topped off. That's where the cuisine was at. I'm telling you, Pete would pull out the credit card at Culver's, and it was all on him. The butter burger, a Coke, and fries. He was generous when it came to a good meal. He was a friend. I laugh about and think about all those things. But the great thing that I do know, that true friends are hard to find. I know we're all hurting right now, and I know we need help. And God is the one that will help. Phyllis, you need help. You've lost your husband of 50 plus years. Nicole, Randy, you need help because he was always that voice of counsel and wisdom as your ministry has been growing and developing. And now the new challenges that you have in leading Only Believe Ministries are immense. And he's not there to talk to you, but your memory will be stimulated of the words of wisdom that he gave you. And all you would only believe, you need to know he gave his life to build this great church in 40 years plus of pastoring and leading. He never wavered. To the grandkids, who were the greatest grandkids on planet Earth, believe me, he told me every time he saw me. And I never got a chance to talk about my grandkids because he was too busy talking about his. And I, Phyllis, do not know how you have a roof over your head with all the money he spent on the grandkids. But oh, how he loved his grandkids. And I just want to say to you that he loved his wife. He loved his kid. He loved his grandkids. And he loved Only Believe. And most of all, he loved the Lord. And I'm just glad that I was also one of the ones he loved. God bless all of you. We're praying for all of you. And I know one thing, something good will come out of what is apparently something bad. But we are going to rejoice that Peter Dosik now dwells in the house of the Lord forever. God bless you.
Amen, amen. What a tribute Dr. Bagwell gave to Pastor Dosik, and they did love playing golf. You should hear the stories. I could be up here for hours about who played better, who played worse, you know. But Pastor Dosik loved Dr. Bagwell. In fact, we have several people from Word of Life Church in Lower Tree, Colorado that came all the way over here to be a part of the service. So for those of you that came, thank you so much for being here to honor Pastor. Our third speaker is another powerful man of God. He was actually our youth pastor for many, many years. And then Pastor sent him out to launch an amazing church in Kokomo, Indiana. This is Pastor Rick Burgeye, and he assists with the Fuel Church in Kokomo. Pastor Rick, if you would come on up and share your thoughts with Pastor Dosik.
Good evening, Saints of God. Pastor Peter and Phyllis Dosik are two of the finest human beings that I've ever met in my life. They taught me so many things. I was privileged to attend K Kenneth E. Hagin's Rhema Bible Training Center, where I learned a lot, believe me. Well, when I came to this church, Pastors Peter and Phyllis took me deep in the Word of God, but made it so I could understand it. And that was their unique abilities. Not only did I have Pastor Peter Dosick come preach in my church, but I had Pastor Phyllis come many times as well. They are so generous. I have witnessed firsthand Phyllis digging in her purse after a service, pulling out cash to help some mother, or writing a check to help pay a power bill. Pastor Dosick, I had to learn that I had to be careful that if he had something, that I couldn't tell him that I liked it because he would give it to me. No joke. He'd give me watches, shirts, etc. And I had to be careful. But I learned, I was always a tither. My wife, when I got saved as a long-haired hippie, drug addict, my wife taught me about tithing. But Pastors Peter and Phyllis taught me how to be generous. And we learned that from both of them. You know, we talk a lot about Pastor Peter Dosick and the great work that he done, not only in this church, but over the nations of the world. But he didn't do it alone. He had a wife. He had a helpmeet. She encouraged him, prayed for him, fasted for him, blessed him. She is as much part of the success of this ministry as Pastor Peter Dosick is. They were always available to anybody that had needs or needed to talk to somebody. Even my boys as adults, they would make the 2.5 hour drive and come over here, and Pastor Peter and Phyllis would sit down with my boys and their wives and counsel them, bring direction to them, and then they'd come home to me. Sometimes you can't talk to Dad about some things that you can somebody else. But I was always very confident that when they were with Pastors Peter and Phyllis, that they were always in good hands. I remember when I was a youth pastor here, we had young Randy and Nikki in our youth group. And it didn't take me very long to understand and be able to see that there was something very unique in them, and that there was a growth pattern already started in them before I ever was able to teach him anything. And obviously that came from their parents, that came from Pastors Peter and Phyllis. And they are exceptional people as well. Very gifted, very talented, very loving. What built this church was pastors' ability to be able to reach out to hurting people. You know, there's hurting people everywhere. And a lot of times, some pastors don't want the hurting people. They want all the people that are got it all together and are doing well. But pastors Peter and Phyllis, they would vacillate towards those people. That was their heart. I grew up just about 20 miles from here, and my father was a farmer. And every time I would come back to Only Believe Ministries from Kokomo, I felt like I'm back with my people. You know, this is my tribe. We're just hardworking, good people, honest people that just want to work hard, make a living, bless our family, bless the church, bless our pastors. And so this place was always big in my heart. And you know what, saints of God? God is not done here. I think he's only just beginning. I am very confident that through the leadership of Pastor Nicole and Randy and Phyllis and this great staff that they have, that the best days of this church are ahead of them. that the glory of the latter house should be greater than the former because of the anointing that is upon those people right there. God bless you, saints of God.
Thank you, Pastor Rick. Appreciate you so much. All right, our four speakers, another powerful man of God. We've gone to this church, I think, 16 consecutive years. We wish we could go to hundreds of churches. Obviously, scheduling doesn't always allow us to go to all of our friends that we love to go to on a regular basis, but this is a church a pastor wanted to go on a regular basis. And the pastor of this church is by the name of Kingsley Osai, and he pastors Victory International Church in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. He and his wife and one of his elders came here tonight to honor Pastor Dosek. He loved coming to Victory. He loved seeing the miracles. And Pastor Kingsley, if you would, please come forward and share a few moments about Pastor Dosek.
Good evening. Greetings from Toronto and Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. Pastor Dosek is the only person that I know and I've met who can be so straightforward, harsh, edifying, funny, rebuke you, and be nice all in one sentence. He's the only preacher I know that can pick on you while ministering to you and giving you a powerful prophecy, while at the same time being used of God to heal you, all in one incident. We've had the privilege of having him in our church in Toronto as well as in Hamilton, Ontario. And I've witnessed the way he ministers and the way that I've described him. It's one thing to do in your own church. It's a whole totally different thing to be in another church and demonstrate and minister the way that he ministers. A great man of integrity. Our churches, both in Toronto and Hamilton, loved him. My wife and I loved him very much. One of our highlights in our yearly calendar was to have him in Canada. He carried such grace and important anointing in various vital areas of ministry. He was genuinely kind. In one case, there was a preacher that we wanted to have come to our church, and we felt it would be difficult considering how busy that particular preacher is. Pastor Dosek made one call when he returned back here to his home church. And that preacher now has become a great friend of our ministry. I have witnessed him choose integrity over monetary advantages. He chose honor over stardom. Devotion to the Lord over compromising. He made sacrifices for the Lord. I will often tell him all the time, how do you do this? He will travel all around the world. And sometimes we try to get him on a Sunday, but he has to be here with his church family on Sundays. We will miss him dearly in Canada. Mama Phyllis, the way he spoke of you revealed how great of a woman you are and how wonderful of a wife you were to him. Thank you for the great part you played in his life, in his relationship with God, and in ministry. In the end, Jesus set the summarization of all ministry and all believers is that we will bear fruit, and that the fruit that we bear should remain. Pastor Dosek bore fruit, and the fruit is undeniable. We appreciate the grace and the opportunity granted to us in Canada to be able to feel like we are part of Pastor Dosek's legacy here on the earth. Mama Phyllis, the Dosek family, and the entire Only Believe family, we from Canada declare the strength, the grace of our Most High God on your behalf. May the Lord comfort you at this time. We declare that what overwhelms others in situations like this will not overwhelm you. Sorrow and pain will not overtake you. We declare that El Roy, the one who sees all, will see you. Even in the places where you will feel alone, that the Lord himself will see you. We declare the everlasting hope of the Most High God be with Only Believe family. Pastor Dosek has created marks in many parts of the earth, and we are certainly part of his fingerprints. Our prayers and our comfort with you all. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor Kingsley. I remember vividly as we would go up there, because Pastor was our pastor first. And he would say, "Eric, I can't miss a Sunday. Please ask Pastor Kingsley, please, can I not miss a Sunday?" And he would be always gracious enough to allow us not to miss a Sunday and do a special service just for us. And we'd have great crowds there. But I remember driving home many nights, and Pastor would say, "Eric, okay, we're going to drive home after the service tonight. Is that okay?" And I thought to myself, "What do you mean by we? Who's driving home, Pastor, besides myself?" And Pastor, after about having his couple pieces of pizza, he put that seat down. And I would just put my earbuds in and start worshiping the Lord for the next 6 hours and pull into his house about 6 a.m. so he could preach here on Sunday morning. That was the kind of pastor we had. He loved you first and foremost, and he loved taking the gospel to the nations, but his heart was always here, Only Believe. That's the kind of pastor that we had. Our next pastor is a wonderful man of God. I have known this man for decades. And I remember doing a crusade there in Mexico City where we had Pastor Dosek come. It was the largest bull ring in the entire world. And it sat about 50,000 people, and it was like a funnel. And it started very small, and it just kind of went up. Pastor did an amazing. He preached a powerful message. We saw so many miracles there. Brother Schambach was there. Teal Osborne was there, to name a few other people as well. Billy Joe Daugherty. And it was such a privilege. But we love Pastor Tim and Naomi Ost. This is one of the most humble men of God I know in the entire world, but one of the most powerful in the entire world. He oversees about 300,000 people in the nation of Mexico, 300,000 under his leadership. And I remember, come on up, Pastor Tim. And I remember one service we were in. Of course, Pastor loved miracles, right? I remember lining up 85 people that were deaf, and 4 or 5 were dumb, couldn't speak. And every person he laid hands on had their ears opened up. And those that were mute spoke their first words. And we went to his church or churches all over Mexico every year. This is Pastor Tim Ost from Faith, Hope, and Love Centers in Mexico City, Mexico.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, you know, Brother Eric and everybody, you know, Mexico, if the message was 4 minutes long, it was 8 because I had to translate for him, so. Yes, well, my wife and I met Pastor Peter way back in 1999 when he came down with Pastor Evangelist R.W. Schambach to preach in the bullring in Mexico City. And, of course, Brother Eric was the campaign director, the crusade director, and we worked together with him months before the meeting. And And Pastor Peter was one of the day speakers. And years after they'd come to Mexico, I get a call from Brother Eric saying, "Hey, is it okay if Brother Peter Dosek comes to Mexico to minister?" And right away I said, "Sure, come down and help us." And this turned out to be year after year after year, usually in the first part of the year. And we had so much fun I'm ministering, you know, Brother Peter is about this high, and I'm way up here. And just loved translating for him there in Mexico City and other parts of the country where we also went. And, of course, I have a question for you. Where is there more joy because of Pastor Peter's ministry, in heaven or on earth? Who's rejoicing more? You know, heaven will rejoice forever. Many of us, you know, well, Brother Peter, he went to We Be With the Lord 5 years ago, but 5 years from now, they will be rejoicing in heaven for all the people that were saved. All the people that were saved. And, you know, the challenge is upon us. There's two occasions in the book of Acts where we see two men of God die. The first one was stoned to death. His name was Stephen. And as a result of his death, there's a tremendous persecution that broke out in the church of Jerusalem. As a result of that, the word of God went to Samaria, went to Antioch, went to Cyprus, went to all different places by people that had been impacted by the gospel that was preached by the apostles there in Jerusalem. And we know how the word of God says there in Acts chapter 8 that after he died, they cried. You know, there's time to cry. I remember when my father passed away, and of course I've got to remember that. A week before he passed away, every single day of that week, I couldn't sit down to my desk to do the work I had to do. I had to just pace the property at our house, just praying in tongues all day long, all day long. On Sunday night, I received the message from Pastor Larry Stockstill from Louisiana, Bethany Church. He said, your father passed away. And the Holy Spirit told me, he said, that's why I didn't let you do anything this week. You had to be in full fellowship with the Holy Spirit, with God, because you didn't know what was going to come in. And I remember we were in the memorial service in Louisiana, and I danced so hard before the Lord. I got so drunk. I mean drunk in the Spirit. And we went to Mexico City. His casket comes in 5 hours late. 2 o'clock in the morning, we show up in the church. There's 25 denominational leaders standing, waiting for the casket. 6,000 people in the vicinity standing. There was no room. They had been singing, praising the Lord for the last 20 hours, nonstop. One person would get up, and it was just a big celebration. So when we get to Mexico City, I start dancing again. But you know, that's where it's at. I mean, you got to be just full of the joy of the Lord when you see results of what God does. And Brother Peter, you know, he was such a blessing. So many hundreds and thousands of souls were touched through his ministry, healings. They're still talking about it, talking about it, talking about it. When I told him he passed away, well, the Lord healed me here. The Lord healed me up there. And different places where dear Pastor Peter ministered. And then, you know, it says in Acts chapter 12, you know, Herod wanted to do his thing. And he ended up dying himself, but he died eaten by worms, although he killed James, and he thought it was over. I remember Brother Schambach one day was saying, well, you know, Herod got it wrong. He didn't know that Sunday was on the way, you know. After Passover, we're going to kill Peter too, but he just didn't remember about the resurrection. And so Peter was saved. But the word of God says here in Acts chapter 12, but the word of God increased and multiplied. So there's only one good, there's only one thing that's going to happen after pastor's going to be with the Lord. This is going to mushroom. The extension of God's kingdom through the group that have been mentored and ministered to brother, through Brother Peter, is just going to mushroom. It's not going to be stagnant. It's going to mushroom, and it's going to mushroom through you. Don't expect it to happen by somebody else. It's your time to shine for Jesus. And we in Mexico are so thankful to God for men like Pastor Peter Dosek that came so unselfish. I mean, he just gave his all. And I just want to finish what it says in Acts 20, because this exemplifies his life. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as a precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. You can never let a godly man, a godly and righteous man, down, not even at his death. His death is causing a nightmare in hell, because they know that what's going to happen through you and others around the world, countless pastors, hundreds, thousands around the world, that are just going to continue expanding the kingdom, and nobody's going to stop them. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor Tim. Appreciate it. He flew in from Mexico City to be here to honor Pastor. I always thought Pastor would preach on David and Goliath, you know, when he was in Mexico, because you had Pastor Tim, 6'9". Pastor, he would say he's 5'4", but I don't think he was quite 5'4". But he never did. I was waiting for that, Pastor Tim. But thank you for all those years you interpreted him. I think we ministered at least 25 times there in Mexico, all over the nation. And we saw multiply thousands come to Christ. Lots of miracles take place. And it was because of this man of God and his leadership. Thank you so much for what you're doing, Pastor Tim. We have two sons of the faith. Now, over the last several months, when Pastor was not able to travel, you know, for the last decade, Pastor has been raising up sons, what we call sons of the faith. They've been taking the gospel literally all over the world. The miracle signs and wonders that we all know Pastor by, the souls come to Christ, we see in other men of God, because God has anointed these men of God to go and do likewise. And we have a man that's coming to us from Cloverdale, Indiana. This is Pastor Matt Nichols, pastor of Soul Harvest Church. We have two of the largest pastors back to back here. I think Pastor Tim about 6'9", Pastor Matt about 6'7". This man of God has seen literally hundreds of thousands of souls come to Christ, a true son of the faith, to Pastor Dosek. Pastor, so proud of you, Pastor Matt. We talked about you in a good light when you weren't around. When you weren't around, obviously you took your lickings, but he loved you very, very much. And we're so proud of what God's doing with you in Cloverdale. He has a church he seats about the same seating capacity as a city in Cloverdale, Indiana. So give a welcome to Pastor Matt Nichols.
Thank you, Brother Eric. I want to start by thanking this wonderful family, Pastor Phyllis, Pastor Nicole, Pastor Randy, and your family. You know, we talked about 8 million souls, and we talked about the legacy of faith. He could not have done that if you would not have allowed him to. And we honor you and thank you as a son in the faith. You had to be okay with him being gone all those weeks. And if you were anybody else, I don't know that he could have done it. Thank you from the bottom of my heart, and I think I speak for many. The words that come to my heart for Pastor Peter Dosek: a father's heart, purity, prayer, and power. And then this expression that I don't know what it means: Katie, bar the door, good night. I don't know who Katie was. I don't know why we're barring the door. But I know Pastor Dosek was excited when he said it. in just a few moments, I want to share a story, a reflection, and a challenge. I was just a lighter side. The very first time I was able to be a night speaker at one of these crusades was West Africa. I was excited. This is what I'd lived for. But I was nervous because this tiny little man was going to be there. And I remember I was praying. I just prayed my guts out. Give me the words, Lord. Lord, when we pray for people, please let somebody get healed. And I was preaching my very best. And I'm still going. And here comes Pastor Dosek right in the middle of the message. Matt, I think you've preached enough. We ought to pray for some people. Hallelujah. Well, we did see some miracles, and we saw a lot of people get saved that night. Praise God. But the key story I want to tell happened about 2019. We were in Kenya. I believe the crusade was named Montanto. And Pastor Dosek and Eric, they had trouble with their flight on the way there. So we were all supposed to be there on a Tuesday. Their flight did not come. And as a result, they have to come a day late and then drive all night. It's about a 6.5-7 hour drive on Kenyan roads, which is not a fun drive. And we're having breakfast in the hotel about 7:30 in the morning. And all the guys, all the crew's there. And here comes Pastor and Eric. And lo and behold, not only did they have flight trouble and did they have to go all night after traveling several days on end to get there, they had lost his luggage. So he only had the suit jacket and the pair of pants that he had on. And the crusade started that night. And Pastor Dosek walked into that breakfast room, sat down, and with a smile on his face, acted like he was the most cheerful, joyous person in the world. Didn't think a thing of it. And he had that opening night crusade Wednesday night. And folks, the thing about the opening night of a crusade is that's when you got to have that breaker anointing. You've got to break the strongholds. You've got to be the mighty man of faith and power. And what Pastor Dosek would do is he would be this mighty man of faith. He would come in and break it open and get the miracles flowing and then step back and say, now you guys go and let us take the credit. That's what he did. That was the Father's heart. But what I saw that week, then on Wednesday, he had the minister, a few days later, he was ministering again, and it poured down rain, and the precious Kenyan people fled, and he kept preaching, soaking wet, drenched, and he was preaching that as they were fleeing, they would hear a salvation message and get saved as they went. Do you know what I did at the end of that trip? I was a little bold, and I asked for something. I said, Pastor Dosek, I want to ask for something. He said, what? I said, I want your jacket. The jacket you've had to wear all week because you didn't have any luggage. I'm going to pay you for it, but I want it. And, of course, it wouldn't fit me. But I want that jacket, and it still hangs in my closet today by my other jackets because I want that tangible anointing rubbing off on me, praise God. And I was reminded at that time that under duress, this man displayed the fruit of the Spirit like I've never seen, and I want to emulate that in my life. The 4-minute mile, which, as you can probably tell, I know very little about, was an impossibility. They said it could not be done, but in 1955, Roger Bannister ran the first 4-minute mile, and since then, there have been 1,800 people do it since. King David, his greatest legacy, we think, well, maybe it was killing Goliath, speaking of David and Goliath, Brother Eric. But, you know, David raised up mighty men. They were in a cave. He was in a cave called Adullam, hiding from Saul. And there were 400 men that came, the Bible says, were in debt, discontented, and distressed. And David took those men and turned them into mighty men. And do you know that Goliath had four brothers? And when we study out Kings and Chronicles, those mighty men would go on to kill. And depending on how you count in Kings and Chronicles, I've come up with a number between 5 to 7 giants those mighty men slew. And to echo my brother who said, we're about to mushroom, I am believing God with all of my heart that we are going to take the passion, the fire, the call, the purity, the prayer, the power, that we are going to go to the ends of the earth preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. So many other things to share. I know we all have hundreds of stories. Please keep telling them. I leave you with a challenge. I want to say to the people of this church, this precious congregation, this is the time to unite behind Pastors Randy and Nicole and Pastor Phyllis. They've stood with you for decades and shared this great man of faith with you. And I encourage you as a pastor myself, please stand by them. Please uphold them and this leadership team in prayer and faith. And I challenge, yes, let's give the Lord a hand for that. And I want to leave us with Mark 16, that we will preach the gospel to every creature. And I challenge us to cast out devils, to speak with new tongues, to lay our hands on the sick, and they will recover. And you say, but Pastor Matt, I'm not sure I know how to do that or what to do. Can I give you just two simple words? Only believe.
Thank you, Pastor Matt. You are one of his closest sons of the faith. Thank you so much for being here. I'll tell you a quick story about Pastor Matt. You know, like many pastors, so many pastors leave the ministry because it's just turmoil, strife. The devil is trying to steal, kill, and destroy. Of course, the other part of the verse says, Jesus has come to give us life and life abundantly. Amen. But Pastor Matt was one of those pastors that was working hard. He's working a job. He's trying to be a pastor in ministry. And he was getting ready to throw the towel. And he was going to say, you know, I can't do this. And I've heard these stories so many times, so I hope he doesn't mind me sharing this story. But he was getting ready to stop. And then he got a CD. Anybody remember what CDs were back then? From Pastor Dosik. And it was about going on. Don't give up. You can do it. Pastor Matt took that message, just continued to push forward with faith, and now has one of the largest churches in the state of Indiana. But that was our pastor, right? He didn't stop encouraging people because he loved to see people like Pastor Matt and others succeed. So thank you so much, Pastor Matt, for being that son to Pastor Dosik. Look forward to winning millions of souls with you all over the world. Our next speaker right now, again, another son of the faith, this man of God. I remember coming to us in Nairobi, Kenya, and we had the privilege of ministering on worldwide television. Brother Jesse's on TV all the time. We were on TBN. We did a live remote. Daystar did a live remote. God TV did a live remote. And we had Pastor Kim come in and others, and we ministered to 7,000 pastors. It was a great, great meeting. So many miracles take place. But Pastor Dosik truly loved Pastor Kim, his wife, his son, David. I've got a chance to know these guys so well. Truly, Pastor Kim has taken the gospel as a son, truly, all over the world. To my knowledge, over the last 3 years, his ministry has seen over 1 million people come to Christ himself for the last 3 years. And that's because he'll give the attribute and give God the glory for it. But that's the son of the faith, the kind of sons Pastor is raising up. So if you would, please give a warm welcome to Pastor Kim Norris from City Church from All Nations in Bloomington, Indiana.
Can somebody shout hallelujah? My journey began officially with Pastor Peter Dosik in 2007
when he invited me to be a day speaker in Nairobi, Kenya. And I was totally in awe of Pastor Dosik. I was in awe of Evangelist R.W. Shambach. And I was extremely grateful to be with my son David and the gospel team and to be included in such a great opportunity. You know, Pastor Peter Dosik taught me how to preach a miracle message in a crusade. And he said, Brother Kim, take a story from the Gospels. Just take one story and put the audience in that story. And in my insecurity, I said, okay. I said, I can do that. I've preached messages for over 25 years. But here's what I'm uneasy about. And that is to call somebody up to the platform in front of 10,000 people, whether they be blind or deaf or crippled, and pray for them and speak the word of faith and expect that God would instantly heal them. And being the spiritual father that he is, he looked at me and said, you can do it. And he said, you will do it. I may understand the way he would say that. And he said, it's apprehended by prayer and fasting and connecting your faith to those promises of God. I went home and fasted 40 days and asked the Lord for the manifestation of all 9 spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit to that level in my life and ministry. Let's fast forward to July of 2022. Pastor Dosik and I were privileged to be the evening speakers there in Mwagwa, Kenya. And that night, a young child, looked like about 10, 11 years old, had never spoken, came up to the platform. He received the prayer of faith. And in rather awkward pronunciation, he began to speak, and I remember 2 words he did speak. Amen. And of course, the precious name of Jesus. Well, I was thrilled to see the Lord open his mouth and give him the ability to speak. But I also felt so good that my mentor was right there to see it. And the challenge that he gave me years before was materialized right before his eyes. Somebody give the Lord a clap offering of praise. I'm talking about how good Jesus is. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, these last several years, especially the last 3, there's been over 1 million people brought to Christ every year via television and personal crusades, going to the villages, through remote Zoom calls. Fresh water wells have been dug. We've built orphanages and have them filled. And slaves have been released from the brick kilns of Pakistan. But none of these things that have happened, and oh, we praise the mercy of God's grace for these things to happen, but none of them would have happened if it hadn't been for the person and life and ministry of Pastor Peter Dosik. It wouldn't have happened. No way. And I'm indebted to Pastor. I'm committed to the vision that he gave to me and to these other ministries to win souls, to preach the gospel accompanied with signs and wonders, and to do the works of Christ around the world until Jesus come back for his church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. I want to say I'm excited. I have been and I will continue to be a son of Pastor Peter Dosik.
Thank you, Pastor Kim. Thanks so much for being here as well. He drove in from North Carolina from meetings to be here in this service tonight, so we appreciate you so, so much. Our final speaker tonight is a very close friend of Pastor Dosek and Pastor Phyllis, Pastor Randy, Pastor Nicole, all the pastors, the grandkids. Dr. Jesse Duplantis has been coming to our church for over 30 years. This man has seen tens of millions of people come to Christ. I remember a pastor telling me, saying, Eric, listen, every year, make sure Brother Jesse's in our church, the first speaker every single year, because he loved his message, he loved the demonstration, he loved his heart for winning souls and impacting the nations of the world. He's on worldwide television, touching 200-plus nations of the world. I was talking to Brother Jesse recently, just through social media. He's had 61 million responses through social media alone in the last 3 years. He has truly touched the nations of the world. Again, what an honor to have Pastor Jesse, Pastor Kathy be with us. He loved you guys dearly. We talked about you all in a very good light all over the world, Brother Jesse. As Brother John Higgy says, you're the prophet of joy. Pastor called you the same thing. And we just love you, and we want to say thank you for flying in. He just preached like 45 consecutive days. This was his day off to come here to be with us so he can preach tomorrow somewhere else. Let's give a warm welcome to Dr. Jesse Duplantis.
Hallelujah. Well, I never thought this day would be here. When I found out about this, Randy called me and told me, he said, I never called him pastor one time in my life. I just called him Peter. And he said, he's passed. I said, no, he hadn't. He's arrived. And passed. He's more alive today than he was whenever he passed, if you call it. And he's a lot taller too. Used to love to preach at his church because he's the only pastor that I could look down on. Praise God. You know, because I'm short myself. Hallelujah. Such a blessing. R.W. Shambach called me, and I've learned something about Shambach over the years. He said, Jesse, are you my friend? I said, what you want? I know they want something, you know. He said, there's a guy named Peter Dosek in Ohio, and I think you ought to go preach for him. I said, well, I don't know him. He said, I do. He said, are we friends? I said, yes, we are. I said, okay. And then Peter sent me a letter, and he said, only believe. I said, oh, this is a good guy here. I like this only believe stuff. So I'll never forget the first words ever told me. He said, do you believe in miracles? This is Peter. I said, I am a miracle. He just looked at me. He said, do you hunt? I said, souls. He said, do you play golf? I said, no, I want to go to heaven. That game will send you to hell, I'm telling you. You won't speak in tongues. You're going to cuss like a drunken sailor. And I know you will. I've heard preachers do it. You know. We became very fast friends. He would ask me all kinds of questions and things of that nature. And he loved my faith. He said, you've never had a financial deficit. And I said, why should I? Now, I know that sounds cocky and arrogant. And it's not. It's confidence and assurance that what God said, he will do. And I made up my mind, I wanted to say a few words, and I'm not as eloquent as some of these great men, but in Romans chapter 14, verse 7, I love what it says, for none or no person liveth to themself or dies to themself. I don't think of Peter Dosek as dead. If you ever read something that he passed, no, he's not in our past, he's in our future. And, you know, it wouldn't... I really believe this. You can't prove it's true, and I can't prove it's not, so I'll just say it. The Bible says, so great a cloud of witnesses, right? Well, you can't be a witness unless you witness something. I believe sometimes God just pulls back the curtain. And I know Peter. I don't want that many people come over there and see me. You know, he'd go, I'll tell you one thing here, my Jesse. And I believe God just pulled back the curtain. Because, see, he's not here. That's not him. See? He's there. That's why he hadn't passed. He's arrived. So in Romans 14, verse 7, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. So to understand life, you have to understand death. See, I had a man ask me, well, one time Peter asked me that, how do you describe death? We were having one of our conversations. We were friends, you know. I said, punctuation. He went, punctuation? I said, death is not a period. That's the end of the sentence. I said, Peter, death is a comma. You pause, and then you go forward again. He said, I'm stealing that. I said, steal it. So you just pause, and then you start walking again. And I don't doubt, already he's probably been sent to another galaxy to get the place saved. Because the gifts and the callings of God are what? Repentance. So if you think his ministry's finished, it really actually just began, because this has just been a training ground. We know now that we got multiple universes. God flung them with his hands. And these gifts go forward. And it's such a blessing of the Lord. So to me, death is not a period, but it's a comma. It's a continuation of one's life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, it says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. See, you can't kill a Christian, they come back. I know many of you may have known some people that went home to be with the Lord, died of cancer, diabetes, I don't know, high blood pressure, crippling arthritis. And all of a sudden, the devil said, didn't we kill that guy in 1972? And that guy says, I'm back. That's what's so amazing. He will be back. Think about that for a minute. Now, I guess nobody expected this to happen, because he got hit pretty hard and a lot of different health challenges, and he always came out. So I was praying. I said, Lord, what's going on here? I mean, we have conversation. I call Jesus, Jesus. He calls me Jesse. I've never called him Reverend Christ. He's never called me Reverend Deplantis. See, it's Jesus and Jesse, Peter, Jesse, you know, that kind of stuff. First name basis. And I was talking to people, Randy and Nikki, and they said they went into his room and he had his hands lifted up. Now, I'm going to answer this question. People say, well, why did he die? That's none of your business. That has nothing to do with you. That's Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord. See, that's a secret between God and Peter Dozak. That has nothing to do with you. But I can tell you why. He finally had enough. The time of his departure was at hand. And when y'all walked in, his hands were lifted up. He said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Now, where's the power of death and where's the power of life? In the tongue. So he fought a good fight. He finished the course and he's kept the faith. You see, and if you keep the faith, everything is yours. So if now you look at his legacy and you understand this, that we and I really mean this, we should never, never grieve for him. Grief is of the devil. The Bible says Jesus bore our grief. That doesn't mean we don't miss him and love him. But he bore our grief. We don't grieve. That's of the devil. That's there to beat on you, Phyllis, and beat on you. Now, when you're around a lot of people, it's a lot easier. But when you're at night by yourself, it's a whole nother ballgame. You see, and that's where that Satan's come. Let's go beat on him. No, no. Because you see, he hadn't passed. He's arrived. And I want you to think about that. Now, me and Peter, we had some wonderful times together. But when I called him up, I said, Peter, I want you and Phyllis, and I want y'all to come with me to Hawaii. I'll pay for everything. You know, Randy, he goes, can we go? I said, yeah, Randy, you come too, praise God. You and Nikki both come. So we all flew to Maui, Hawaii. And I said, it's all on me. Just enjoy yourself. And we stayed at the Grand Wailea Hotel. You should have seen that. It was just amazing. And I had to do some preaching. So he said, I'm going to go with you and preach. Peter, I said, no, you're not. You know, Peter could be stubborn. I said, I'm taller than you, Peter. You just sit your ugly self down right here. You understand what I'm saying? I want you to enjoy your family. That's what the Lord told me. Oh, the Lord told you, that's fine, you know. He said, is there a lot of jewelry in Hawaii? I said, yeah. He says, oh, Jesus. He said, are we going to go walk around it? I said, yeah. He said, oh, Jesus. He said, you know, Phyllis has noticed some of Kathy's jewelry. I said, get ready to get hit, Peter. I said, you believe in the blessing? I said, let's just go do this thing. You know? And we did have a wonderful, glorious time. And he couldn't get over it. The next morning, we got in, the next morning, I walked up to him. I said, and I was kind of acting like they were all my kids. I'm older than Peter, about a year and a half. I said, so here's $1,000 a piece. Y'all go spend some money. Peter just looked at me. And I could see it in Phyllis's eyes. Take it. Because I am going to burn some money here, you know. Those are the kind of times we had together. We had wonderful times talking ministry and being blessed. But it was wonderful just to be friends. And I have a lot of acquaintances, but I have very, very, very few friends. In fact, if you have 5 friends in your whole life, count yourself lucky. Because to see a true friend stick it closer than a brother. See, I want to tell this whole family, the Word of God and the Bible has wonderful recipes for heart pain. So the minute something starts to hit, go to the Word, because it has a recipe to take the heart pain out of you. And realize that they're like, and I would just say this, and some people may disagree, but that's okay. You want to hear His voice? Ask for it. I never forget, I preached my mother's funeral. Now, that wasn't the easiest thing I ever did. My daddy said, you can do this. I said, it's easy for you to say, because you're not. So I thought, my God, Lord, what do I say? You know, and I'll never forget this. 47 people got born again at my mother's funeral. And it was actually kind of a funny thing that happened. The microphone system went out. And like all these wonderful flowers and stuff like that, like this. And Mom's casket was like Peter's casket here. And I was down a lot lower. And the man, I looked at the funeral director, he told me to back up. So I backed up about like this. And I told this to Peter, and he just lost it. He was just roaring because he loved people getting saved. And he got on his knees because nobody could see him because the amount of flowers, you know. And he stuck his hands into that system. And boom. And he looked at me and went, go ahead. See, there were other 2 wakes going on, and he hooked me up in the other 2 wakes. So now I'm preaching my mom's funeral, and I'm preaching these people I don't even know. So they begin to get up, and they left them people's bodies there and walked over because we had the largest part of that funeral home, you know. And I didn't know any of this. And the funeral director trying to get my attention, you know. I just kept going, you know. And there was a man, my youngest brother, who's now in heaven, was leaning up against the wall. He said, when I die, I want to get him. He didn't know he was talking to my brother. But think about what God and what this great man has done. And I told him that he just roared about it. He said, my God, you can get people saved even in death. I said, oh, yeah, yeah. I said, it's very easy. It's very simple. And we have many opportunities to fail, but we don't take any. You see, I just don't do that. And I'll say one more thing. I'm going to say a little private things real quickly. He said, you just don't struggle with money. I said, why should I? I always would answer him with a question. I said, well, Jesus never struggled with money, Peter. Why should we? He never had a financial deficit. Why should you? Because the church world has spoken that to you. You see? You got to understand something about Jesus. He never had a financial deficit. And Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 says, be ye therefore imitators of God. So I'm going to tell you why. The Apostle Paul, I'm not worthy to latch his shoelaces, but he had financial deficits. The Apostle Peter, the Apostle John, the Apostle Jude. Why? You know, God tried to bless Paul, but he was worried about them offerings. Worried somebody might say something about something, you know. So when God tried to bless him, he would say this. I work with my own hands. I make tents. And that's a wonderful thing to be a person that works. But God wasn't concerned about working with his hands. But in the next epistle, the Apostle Paul changed it. He said, I did you a disservice because I did not receive from you the things that you sent me. But now I have received from Epaphroditus the things you sent, and I'm full, I have all, and I abound. And Jesus did the same thing. He was a receiver. Lady broke an alabaster box. Made Peter mad. Made Judas mad. Everybody, you know what Jesus said in the original? Shut up. This is for me. So I say this under the Holy Ghost. You don't have to worry about no money, fellas. None, Nikki. None, Randy. Only believe ministries, Peter Dozek ministries. If you believe the way Jesus believed, you'll go to these crusades and they come back and say, did you lack anything? No. But see, you have an opportunity to believe, so believe for the best. I like what President Trump said when he wasn't president to his daughter Ivanka. He said, Ivanka, you're going to think anyway. You might as well think big. See, well, we serve a very big God. So Peter, when I'm in my private conversation, he said, well, I've struggled financially. I said, you know what your problem is, Peter? Now, we could talk, you know. Not that I'm over him, because I'm not, you know. I'm not worthy to latch his wonderful shoelaces. I said, you know what you need, but you don't know what you want. He looked at me. I said, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. I said, I don't know why you ever would ask for a need when he said he'd supply all. So why don't you tell him what you want? Yet the church world says that's greed. No, that's growth. Because when Jesus talked to his father, he told him what he wanted. When you have what you want, you don't even think about need. When you have what you want, you destroy need. Well, God now has what he wanted. And he wanted Peter Dozek for a reason. Not just to say hi. Ain't these some nice streets? Apparently, no, that's good. That's all fine. But he's on a mission. And he's only been in heaven 4 seconds. That's it. Because 1,000 years is one day with the Lord. Because that's so our mathematical minds can try to figure out how that is. The millennial kingdom is only a weekend. I mean, actually, it's one day. 1,000 years and one day with the Lord. He's been up there about 4 seconds. And I know what he's thinking because I went to heaven in 1988. He's going to say, man, Jesse, that's right. Look at this. You see, so if Jesus comes in 10 years, he'll be up there maybe 8 minutes if you equate 1,000 years and one day with the Lord. And he would turn around and say, Phyllis, look at this. So you got to understand that, how God does these wonderful things. You see, and we all going to make heaven our home. But listen to me. I don't believe we have to have any more of these. Because there's a whole generation won't see death. I'll say this in close, and I had a great conversation with Peter about this. He looked at me. This was last year when I was here. He said, Jesse, who's your successor? I said, well, I got to tell you a story. I asked the Lord about that. I don't mean to sound prideful, arrogant. I have a very large ministry, if you want to call it as such. I'm preaching to 2.3 billion people Sunday in 14 different languages. It's all paid for a year in advance. Why not? I don't mean that sound arrogant. Listen to me. And we discussed these things a long time, me and Peter, over the years. And he just looked at me and he said, I want to learn that. I said, I want to learn some things from you, Peter. I think you're asking me all the time. I need to ask you some things, you know, different things, you know. Because he loved getting people saved. So when I was just talking to him, and I could see he was very interested. He said, I just aggravated this devil fighting me in my body. I said, well, you know why? Because you got healing power in your body. When you speak, healing takes place. That's why he told his spiritual son, you can do this. You can do this. It didn't make no difference how many people. You see, he didn't have suppose it don't work. So, see, I don't have that anymore. Suppose it don't work syndrome. Well, suppose it does. What you going to do if it don't? What you going to do if it does? You see what I'm saying? That'll confuse the devil. So let him walk off confused. and you do what God calls you to do. Now, I'm going to say this. I thought Lincoln, what you said, was phenomenal. I've been preaching 45 days. And yesterday, I felt like Lincoln's dump. I am not lying. Whoo, Lord. I thought, that boy's preaching to me this today. You know? So I told the Lord, I said, God, I am dragging. I said, you told me to send a video, remember? I said, no, I'll fly. I said, get that jet ready. Let's go. And I said, Lord, touch my body. He said, I don't need to. I said, what? He said, let me give you a word, sleep. I said, Lord, I could have thought of that. He said, why didn't you? So that's the last word I said to the Lord, and I went to bed. And I woke up feeling good this morning. I mean, just feeling great. That's the word of God. And I thought, if I just listen. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And sometimes your body will tell you what to do by faith. And you know, why God is doing so many wonderful and glorious things. So we should never, ever grieve for him. See, encouragement, and I close with this, is the oxygen of the soul. Breathe. Now, I know what's going to happen here concerning this ministry. Every man's work must be a continuation. Where there's a Moses, there's a Joshua. Now, what's so wonderful about it, I feel a little kobo shokun, thank you, Holy Ghost. I feel so strong to say this. Moses' sons didn't get the top slot. I'm pretty sure they wanted it. But they didn't do what Joshua did. Joshua wouldn't leave Moses. Joshua's sons didn't get the top slot because they didn't do what their father said. It went to another set of judges. But Phyllis and Nikki and Randy are Joshua's. They were with him. Stand with him. You understand what I'm saying? Doing that. Think about that. So God says, well, only believe will not only continue here, but it'll continue for eternity. Upon eternity. So you, when you get to heaven, you're not going to be laying on the ground and angels dropping grapes in your mouth. You're going to work. God is a creator. So from now on, somebody said, you heard he passed, and now I heard he arrived. Because words mean a lot. Words are containers that mean a lot. And I could tell you so many different stories, private stories that we had, fun stories. But we did have a good time in Hawaii. And we flew back on that jet. Peter going, Jesus, this is suffering for Jesus, isn't it? I said, well, I never thought of it as suffering. I thought of it, we don't have to stop. We can just go where we want to go, do what we want to do. And I'm saying that to all the ministers of the gospel. And let me go back to this. Who is your successor? You know, when Peter asked me that, I thought, where is my successor? I'm older than Peter. So I went to the Lord about it, and I want everyone to listen to me. I said, God, who's my successor? And he said, there's a whole generation won't need one. There's a whole generation won't see death. Now, he didn't tell me he's coming in my lifetime. I asked him again. I said, maybe you didn't quite understand what I said. Who is my successor? He said it again. There's a whole generation won't need one. There's a whole generation won't see death. Now, he saw death only because he did this. Father, into your hands, I commit my spirit. When you speak that kind of word, that's great power, because that's what Jesus said. And when you say what Jesus says, you get what Jesus says. See? So I said, well, do you think you're going to die, brother? I don't know. He didn't say that. But there's a whole generation won't see one. But it's kind of amazing how quick that God will put somebody in his physical presence so that when we get there, he already knows the ropes. Think about that. So when you get there, Randy, there's going to be Peter. I got a job for you. So when you hear Nikki preach, or Randy or Phyllis say something, that DNA of spirituality in their sons is there. And you'll hear that voice. But I say it again. If you want to hear his voice, Phyllis, you can. Not just by video. Because when I did my mother's funeral, you know, I didn't break. And they asked me to go to the gravesite and do that. I said, Daddy, I'm not a piece of iron. Oh, yeah, you can do this, son. Now, we don't bury people in the ground in Louisiana because of the water table. You bury them in tombs, you know. We like Egyptians, you know, pyramids and stuff like that. If you bury them in the ground, they pop out. Oh, I'm serious. Hurricanes, you got to go get your daddy. I'm serious. He's floating down the river. I've seen it happen so many times because nobody wanted to pay for a tomb. You can't do that, you know. And I went back, and when they slid my mother's casket into that tomb, and it hit the back of the tomb. It went boom, boom. I couldn't talk. I went, oh. So I looked at everybody and I walked out. And I went home. And I thought, whew. And I know my mother's voice. And I heard this like you hear me. You did a good job, Jesse. I turned around. Jesus, what? Who did I bury a while ago? I heard it physically and audibly. And I needed to hear that. And that has strengthened me. And she went home to be with the Lord Easter Sunday, 1982. But it brought great strength. So comfort yourself with those words. Ask the Lord about that. You see what I'm saying? Peter said, don't give him any hope. Well, can't have any faith without some hope. I believe in hope. But if God did that for me, use me as an example. You did it for Jesse. And maybe some of you, that someone has gone on, that you'd love to hear that voice. I'm talking physically here. Not in nothing wrong with being in here, but outward. And watch God do the most phenomenal miracles you've ever seen. He really loved you, Phyllis. He was worried about your jewelry, but he loved you. He said, oh, God, don't let Phyllis see Kathy's jewelry. I said, I hope she sees it all, son. And we had more fun. It was just such a blessing. So to my friend, who I esteemed highly in the faith, and you can hear me, well, job well done, Peter. And you know, Peter, I'm kind of glad I didn't see you in a hospital bed. Because you know what I remember? That. Everybody just look at that. Because that's how he looks now. With a lot more hair. And young. I mean that. This ministry is in great hands. Your family's in good hands. But I'm going to tell you something, then I'm going to shut up. Eric, you can come on up here right now if you want. Don't try to walk in your daddy's shoes. They're too big. Walk in your shoes. Randy, don't walk in Peter's shoes. Walk in yours. You know, when John Osteen passed away, Joel called me. He said, can you come? I preached for John Osteen a bunch of times. Would you come to the church? And he wore his daddy's shoes. Come on, Eric. For about 7 years, every time he went in the pulpit, he put his daddy's shoes on. And the Lord told him, he went to preach and he went, put your own shoes on. And look what God has done through Joel Osteen. So you don't try to emulate. You emulate Christ, the hope of glory. And you're going to have ideas. And to all the people that come to Only Believe, that Peter never had. Because it's a new generation. It's a new time. It's a new revelation. God will spiritually motivate you to do things that Peter probably would have never done. Not that it was wrong, right? It's just the calling. And then you won't struggle with that. You're doing those crusades is the exact same way. And I'm speaking this under the Spirit of God. You see, you be the person God called you to be. But you take the message of this man. Because it was Jesus' message to go in the world, preach this gospel to every creature. And Matthew 24:14. You believe this? When this gospel, not a gospel, not some gospel, somebody's opinion about a gospel. When this gospel is preached to the world as a witness, the end shall come. What is this gospel? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So whatever it cost, I leave you with the same statement God gave me. Don't worry about the cost. Jesse, I didn't ask you to pay for it. I asked you to believe for it. And me, all I've ever done in my life was just believe. And that's why I came here under Shambach's urging. When I saw Only Believe, I said, oh, yeah, I like that. I'd steal that name of a ministry right now, but he's already got it. Only Believe. That is so simple, isn't it? Only believe. And we've been told not to touch this casket. You heard it in his voice. And I know if we start walking down there, me and you, Eric, you just knock the flowers off the thing. I know what people, some people go, oh, Jesus, we're going to make the sound of the cross. Whoa! Because you don't understand. There's something there. God said you could do those things. Now, is he telling you to do it? No, he's not telling me to do it. Because, see, he told me not to do it. See my point? Do you understand what I'm saying? But God, nobody told God, or Lazarus didn't tell anybody not to raise him. And Jesus did that. He's more alive today than he'll ever be. Phyllis, Nikki, Randy, thank you for allowing me to be a part of this great homegoing. And I mean that sincerely. And to all you wonderful spiritual sons, it's wonderful to be under that man's ministry. And you know what? You'll be that for eternity. And same thing with Brother Kingsley. He's the one called me, told me to go to Hamilton, Montana. Jesse, my old friend, now this is Peter. Those are, yeah, you need to go to Hamilton, Montana. Not Hamilton, Canada. I said, yeah. I said, where's that? He said, it's in Canada. And I went. We had such a wonderful time. And sometimes Peter would come and say, did you like it? I said, yeah, it's great. Yeah, it's a blessing of God. You know, yeah, we would call it once in a while and we talk. It was a blessing. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for allowing me to take a portion of your time. Hallelujah. Give Jesus a hand clap.
Thank you, Dr. Duplantis. What an honor it is to have you, Pastor Kathy. Thank you so much for coming as well. Pastor loved you guys very, very much, and you were very much close to him. Thank you so much for all your prayers, your support for this ministry as well. You guys were just such a blessing. I just want to make a few announcements, and we're going to transition to a song here shortly. But I'd be remiss if I didn't get a chance to acknowledge all the pastors who are watching right now on live stream and from all around the world. Some of the largest churches in the entire world sent in videos sharing their tributes and how much pastors impacted their lives. We're talking churches that have 50,000, 70,000 people, bigger than that in some cases. And I also want to say thank you for all those pastors that came in from all across America. You know, you guys were very dear to Pastor. Many of you prayed and fasted with Pastor so many times. He loved you. He prayed for you every single day. And he knows, God, your greatest days of ministry is still yet ahead of you. So don't give up. Push on. Continue to carry that torch. And we're going to see millions of lives transformed because of the legacy of Pastor Peter Dosek. Amen. I just want to say thank you. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to ask everyone to stand to your feet. We've been sitting for quite some time. We have a song that Pastor loved to sing, and Sister Ashley is going to sing it for us right now. Let's go, Sister Ashley.
Till I mean every word, 'cause the way.
worship, and you still deserve it. You're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy of my song. I pour out your praises in blessing and breaking. You're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy of my song. You are worthy. Yes, you are.
I'm gonna live. My King is risen. Gonna preach to my soul like you've already won.
And even though I can't see, you made is as good as good. Yes, you are worthy, and you still deserve it. You're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy of my song. I pour out your praises, blessing and breaking.
You are worthy of me whole. from you are all things. To you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all.
Another hour and it'd be all right. Hallelujah. You can sit down for a minute.
Oh, praise God.
I never knew it could be so hard to write a eulogy. It was hard enough having to do my own grandpa's funeral, who I loved very much, but this, it was very difficult. And I think this was Pastor Dosek's last stab in my back as a son-in-law, telling me that I was doing his funeral. Ooh, he's up there just laughing. I got him one more time. And so when I was going to do this, I had a thought, and I said, you know, I don't like suits, and I don't like ties, and I don't like dressing up, but I want to wear the last tie that Pastor ever preached in. And that was in April, and one of the staff, I think Shekinah, found the last tie that he ever preached in, and then he only preached two more times, and that was this one right here. That was his pink tie, and I hate pink. He just keeps on giving. Wow. But most of you have got to go to those three rooms. And they're still going to be open after church today and tomorrow. And you've got to see everything that he has been and he has done. You've got to see just a glimpse of who he was as a father and a husband and a grandfather. You got to see just a glimpse of who he was as a pastor and a teacher for 41 years. And of course, you got to catch a glimpse of who he was just as an evangelist and as an apostle. And you look around this room today, you look around and you see all these people that had so many amazing stories as you were rushed through this line like cows so we could get through this to start at 5 o'clock
So many stories, so many tears of how he touched us in one way or another. It's just unbelievable. And it's just so amazing. And I spent hours looking at people's comments about Pastor Dosek all around the world. Just sit there at my desk at home, sit here in the office, not doing anything constructive, but just looking and crying and listening. And I wrote some of these comments and remarks down because they're just amazing to me. And I'm going somewhere with this. This man has a long list of achievements, somebody said. It was an honor to know him. He was a great guy, a true general of faith, a humble servant. He was a good man, a selfless man. Pastor was a gem. What a legacy, man of God. He not only preached the word, but lived it. He was gracious. He was an amazing man. Wonderful soul, precious man of God. I admired him greatly. Amazing grandfather. The world will miss him. Can't wait to see him again. He had a great love for his family that had no bounds. What an awesome pawpaw. Most loving, caring, selfless person I know. A great example of love. He lived every truth he ever taught. He was saturated with and exuded the true love of Jesus. He was funny and thoughtful. His sermon on forgiveness changed my life. He was uncompromising in his faith and in his love. September 2018, God, through Pastor Dosek, healed my little girl of a stroke that she had. One of the greatest anointed pastors to ever live. He was powerful in the Holy Spirit. Pastor Dosek preached, and my life was changed. I prayed with him on the radio, and I got my miracle. I received my permanent healing through Pastor Peter Dosek, and the accolades just went on and on and on. So, my question to you today is, how did someone like Peter Dosek, raised with 15 brothers and sisters, with really no dad to speak of, who skipped school to go fishing as much as he could, and as a child would hear God speak to him, and he would tell God to leave him alone? He had a reputation in school where they just moved him up to the next grade just to get rid of him. How did a person like Peter Dosek, who left high school on a dare before he graduated, a person who did evil things to people, stole a beer truck, burned a car for a buddy so he could get the insurance money, but then the guy didn't give him his cut, a person who broke into churches, of all places, ran around with bad people, pimped women, was in a bad motorcycle gang, a person who cheated on his wife and hated himself. How does he go from all that evil to what we see and hear about today? How does a worthless, no good for nothing, hell-bound sinner get these kind of accolades? I'll tell you why. You can boil all of it down to one word: choices. Choices. That's how simple it is. When he heard about Jesus and what Jesus did for him while he was yet a sinner, he chose to ask Jesus to forgive him. Simple choice. And then he chose to make Jesus Lord of his life. Joshua 24:15 says, "Choose this day whom you will serve." And Pastor Dosek said, "I am going to choose to serve God and love him and do what he said to do all the days of my life." That was his choice that he made. And sometimes he had to make that choice every single day. And from the day he got saved, he chose to make different choices that led him to what we are honoring him for today. He said, "In order for me to be a vessel used by God, I had to make hard choices to die to myself in several areas of my life." He had to make a choice to die to self-ambition, he said. He said the only ambition that he wanted was for everyone to know Jesus. He made a choice to die to success by man's definition. He had a person one time after a crusade ask him how he got so successful. And he responded to them that there are still millions of people lost. So how can you call me successful? What a statement that was. His definition of success was to be in God's will and displaying Christ's nature at all costs. He made a choice to die to procrastination and laziness, he said. He made a choice to die to the power of a moment. I'm like, what do you think? Awful crazy. The power of a moment. And this is what he meant. He said, every moment has the power of failure interwoven into it. He refused to give into its intimidation, and he would not bow to the pressure of moments. It has to be done now. You got to do it right now. He wouldn't bow to that. He made a choice to die to ignorance, he said. One time a person asked him, how did you get such faith? And where did you learn all that you know? He answered him, well, I don't know much about the Bible, but I am intimately and in communication with the one who authored it. That was Pastor Dosek. He made a choice to die to all types of disobedience. And he made a choice to die to self-hatred. He said that if you hate yourself, you will hate everybody else around you. And he made a choice to die to all forms of falsehoods and deceptions about and concerning himself. He said, what you see is what you get. And we all know that was what we got. He made a choice to live by a set of rules that was written by the hand of God. He lived in integrity, sincerity, and honesty. So, Pastor Peter Dosek, who could also have been called Dr. Peter West Dosek, is honored today by people around the world and here at home and has an untouchable legacy, as one other person had said, because of the choices that he made while on this earth. And so for the last time, here's Pastor Peter Dosek.
Hi. Well, I guess that you already realize that if you're watching this, that my life for Jesus Christ has come to an end. I do trust that some way my life made an impact on you. Maybe the life I preached, lived, the message I declared, maybe it was the way that I sang off key, whatever it might be, I hope that my life was a message to you that you needed to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you're here today, you know that I'm in heaven and that I am receiving my crown, my reward, which is laid up for all those that love Jesus, is appearing. It's the crown of life, the crown of righteousness. I want to take this moment on this tape, even though I'm already in heaven. But while you're here celebrating my life, calling to remembrance those things that some way have touched you and the things that God has done in my life, to be simply a message to you that Jesus is real, I'm going to take this time and I want to tell you that you know that it's important that you be saved. It's important that you receive Jesus Christ. The very fact that you are here today tells you that God is faithful. Hebrews 9:27 says that it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. You realize that I'm dead. Jesus has been proven faithful. I have died. I want to encourage you today that you weigh out the balances of where you are. Maybe you're not saved, maybe you're lukewarm, maybe you're backslid, whatever it might be. I want to encourage you, you get ready, change your life, fortify your life, adjust your life, sanctify your life, and get right with God. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, call upon Him while He is near. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now, I'm speaking to you right now that if you're not saved, if you're backslid, if you're lukewarm, that you right now make a decision to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That my gospel, my life, will not have been in vain. Now, I am in heaven, and if you want to see me on the right side of the vault, if you want to walk with me down the streets of beautiful gold, if you want to walk with me beside the river of life and eat of the tree of life and go to the great city where we can worship God, if you want to see Jesus Christ in person, you need to be saved today. Don't delay. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to call upon the Lord. Please, each and every one of you, I want to encourage you, come to where I am. Jesus awaits you. Today, make a decision. Make a decision to live for Him. Give your life to Him. Make a decision to be more dedicated to Him. Make a decision to be on fire for Him. Make a decision to come back to Him. Make a decision to stay connected with Him. Listen, I love you. And as the preacher today gives the altar call, respond. Jesus is waiting, and so am I. I'll see you in heaven.
Ooh. I close with this. In Ecclesiastes 3:1, it says that there is a time for everything. 8 verses talking about life and death and everything in between. It's no secret that when we enter this world, that there will be an end to life as we know it. He just said it. For it's appointed everybody wants to die and then the judgment. But the problem we have in this life is the word time. Time. The world thinks that how old you are is determined by your death. But that really isn't true. If you are 40 and you live to be 50, you're kind of old. Yeah. But if you're 60 and you live to be 100, you're fairly young. You see my point? Got to think a little bit on that. We really don't know who are the old folks in this room today. We really don't. Many of us think that we are younger, but you may really be older than you think. And that is because of the word time. Pastor Dosik thought he would live to be 92. We've heard it many times. I'm going to roll over. I'm going to kiss my wife, and I'm gone. He didn't make it to 92. Made it to 73. Because of the word time. But he was ready. That's the difference. He was ready. Are you? Are you ready? If you walked out of here today, and something happened, and you died, would you be ready to be received into heaven? It's always a question. If you are sitting here today and you are a born-again Christian who made the choice to serve and follow Jesus, then the only part of hell you will ever receive is what you see here on this earth. That's it. But if you don't become a Christian, if you don't give your heart to the Lord, if you don't become born again, then the only little bit of heaven that you're going to ever get is while you're here on this earth. That's it. So let's see. This life being a vapor, then eternal torment forever and ever, or with Jesus in eternity with heaven. I know what my answer would be. It's pretty simple. Here's the deal. The choice is yours. It's always been yours. People ask me, well, if God loved me so much, then why would He send me to hell? People, He loved you so much, He gave you a choice.
It's up to you and me where we want to be. Romans 10 and 9 says that if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Everybody stand with me today. We can't make it any more clear than what Pastor Dosek said there and what I said right here. Time doesn't care who you are, how rich you are, how poor you are, doesn't matter. So I'm going to ask everybody to pray this prayer with me today because this is exactly what Pastor would want. And if you've never received Jesus as your personal Savior, or you've fallen away and you need to get back, then I want you to pray this prayer with the sincerity of your heart. And Jesus said, you will be saved. So pray this with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I come before you today in the midst of this great congregation, in the midst of Pastor Dosek's homecoming. And I ask you to forgive me for all of my sins. Lord, wash them away and never remember them again. I believe in you. I know you died for me. And I give my life to you right now. I thank you that I'm forgiven. I've been set free. I'm healed. I'm a new person. Old things are passed away. I thank you I'm made new today. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. 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 John Kessler, where are you? John Kessler, where are you at? Come over here, please, wherever you are. Wherever you're at. Is he somewhere? I know he's here. I saw him. John. There he is. Where is he? I don't know where he's at. Maybe he went to the bathroom. Here's what I want to do. Pastor Kylan's down here. If you said that prayer and you meant it, and it was for the first time, or you rededicated your life, when we walk out of here, I want you to come down and see Pastor Kylan right here. Tell him what happened. Tell him what you did. And he's going to help you and direct you into the next steps of what has to happen in your life. Because again, as Pastor Jesse said, it's not just sit back, relax, put on your headgear, and get ready for a trip through the atmosphere. No, we got to work. We got stuff to do. And you become a part of a great family. And we want to help you in your Christ walk. So we thank you. And thank you today for helping us honor an amazing man who has an amazing legacy that will live on forever and ever. We love you so much. Thank you so much. Pastor Eric. Eric, where you at? You got it? Rock on.
We're going to sing this last song. If you're a part of Only Believe, you know Pastor asks for this song every week. It was his favorite. He said, hey, Ashley, play the Bless Me song. So we're going to play the Bless Me song.
Lord, bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you and give. Amen. generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. Go before you, and behind you, and beside you, all around you, within you. He is with you, he is with you. In the morning, in the evening, in your coming, and your going, in your weeping, your rejoicing. He is for you, he is for you, he is for you.
We sang that song so many times. Pastor Ashley got to know it by heart. I think she was singing it in her sleep sometimes. Pastor loved it. Listen, church, we want to say thank you for being here today. In closing, I want to remind everybody, tomorrow we're going to have a private burial for Pastor, for immediate family and for staff. So just be in prayer for us tomorrow as we put Pastor in the ground. As Brother Jesse mentioned, he's not dead. He's alive. Amen. And I want to remind everyone that hasn't had the opportunity to go see the three rooms that we have put together in the northeast portion of our building. I think you guys will enjoy it if you have a few more minutes before you have to go home tonight. One of the rooms shows Pastor as a husband, as a father, as a grandfather. Has his hunting memorabilia in there for all of our hunting fans on this side of the building right now. Has some arrows in there, so we hope we're going to count the arrows so no one makes sure they take one out, you know, by mistake. Might be some weapons in there. We're hoping there's no live ammo, so if there is, please, staff, get in there before anything discharges. We also have Pastor showing him as a pastor. We have 41 years of video, of pictures. You guys would love that. That's room number two. And then last but not least is our evangelist, is our apostle, where we got a chance to see so many millions of people come to Christ. It was one of Pastor's greatest love to win souls, and we're going to continue to do that. So that'd be room number three. So if you have time, we encourage you. It's going to be on the northeast side of the building. Thank you for coming. We have Pastor Ed Ingram coming up right now. He's going to be dismissing us by rows. Thanks so much for being here tonight. God bless you.
Thank you for being so patient. Would ask if you please remain standing where you are now.